Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue this month's series of studies looking at the topic, Living the Life of Christ. This is the final in our series of studies on life. Find it, get it, learn it, live it. And as I said, this month, the final series in that group of series of studies, looking at living the life of Christ, how we live the life that we receive at salvation. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is our starting point for this series of studies. So if you'd like to take a moment, get your Bibles and turn to the second chapter of Galatians, we certainly would invite and encourage you to do so. And as you do so, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive and remind you that at the end of the program, in each of our broadcasts, we give you an address, a mailing address that you can reach us, also a web address and a toll-free phone number. And if you contact us in any one of those ways this week, we'd be glad to send you either the audio or video cassette tapes of this current month series of studies. Just request the series on the life of Christ, living the life of Christ, and we'll be glad to get that out to you without any cost or obligation. So as I said, get a pen or pencil, some paper, get that contact information down at the end of the program so that you can request those materials if you'd like. Also, if you have a question or a comment about something that you've heard here on Grace Alive, we'd love to hear that also, and perhaps your question could become the topic for some future Grace Alive program. Right now, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. As I said, this is the starting point for this series of studies on living the life of Christ. And Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice in that passage, in that one verse, how many times the word live or life is used. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Paul says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul clearly is focusing and emphasizing in that passage the life that we have in Christ and living that life of Christ out each day of our existence. Now, as we've been focusing on the life of Christ, as I said in the introduction just a few moments ago, we are in the final series of a group of studies that we've done on the topic of finding, getting, learning, and living life. We've seen that we find life in the Word of God. We get life by believing the gospel and receiving God's gift of eternal life. We learn life by studying God's Word, and as we study, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And finally, the reason to find life, get life, and learn about life is to be able to live that life. And so in this series of studies, we want to focus on living that life of Christ that we receive at salvation. We've seen thus far in our series that Paul is dealing with this issue in Galatians because there was a problem in the churches of Galatia. The churches of Galatia had come under the influence of what are commonly called Judaizers. That is, they were Jews, believing Jews, part of the little flock in Israel that had gone out and taught the Gentiles that it was necessary for them to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And as Paul writes to the churches of Galatia here, he writes to make sure they understand and to clarify the point that circumcision and the keeping of the law were not a part of his gospel. If you notice chapter 3, verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Paul writes to the Galatians, says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Why would you think that having begun in the Spirit, you can now be made perfect by the flesh? The answer is, of course, that they cannot. Yet they were being encouraged by these Jews from Jerusalem to keep the law and to be circumcised. And as we saw last week in our study, that sadly is what many Christians believe living the life of Christ is. Just a series of do's and don'ts and the keeping of the law and ordinances and regulations, and whether it's the Mosaic law that God gave in Scripture to the nation Israel, or whether it's some church creed, or whether it's your own personal set of, quote, moral values. Many Christians, as I said, have the idea that just keeping that set of rules and regulations is what living the Christian life is all about. That's not what it's all about. And the problem with a law and a regulation is that because of your flesh, you are destined always to break that law. The law was not given to make man righteous by its observance. The law was given to demonstrate man's guiltiness. We saw that last week. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, that the law was given that all the world might become guilty before God. That's the point of the law. Not so that you can keep the law and become righteous, but so that when you realize you can't keep the law, you realize your need of a Savior. So you're living the Christian life by trying to keep the law, whatever the law might be, will never work. It'll only lead to defeat and despair and ultimately to just discouragement. There is, though, a way that Paul describes in his epistles to live the life of Christ. Not by keeping a law, but the real vital life of Christ instilled in you at the moment you believed. You see, that's why we had to understand those first issues. Before you can get to living the life of Christ, number one, you have to know where to find it in God's Word. You have to receive it. You have to believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He's buried, that He rose again the third day. You have to receive that eternal life of Christ. You have to learn it. You have to know where to go in God's Word to learn about that life you've received. And we have seen that you go to Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, the apostle of the Gentiles, who established the churches of the Gentiles. That's where we go to find out about this life that we've received. Now, Paul talks about us dying. Notice in this passage, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So part of understanding the life that you now have is to understand that you were crucified with Christ. And as you were crucified with Christ, you are also risen with Christ. And Paul describes for us that process. And what we want to do today is understand the process by which your salvation comes, understand what God does at the moment of your salvation, understand how what He does frees you from the do's and the don'ts and the rules and the regulations and the bondage of the law, and frees you, sets you at liberty to serve God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. And in Romans 6, verse 7, Paul is going to tell us something very important about the law and about how we can be freed from the law. Romans 6, verse 7 says this, He that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. The wages of sin is death. So if the law declares you guilty before God, then the wage of that guilt, when the law has declared you guilty, then the next step is that the law imposes on you the death sentence. The wages of sin is death. You've been found guilty under the law, so death is your sentence. It's what you deserve. But once you die, once you've died, and the penalty has been exacted and the wage has been paid, then you are free from that penalty because it's been paid. That's what Romans 6, verse 7 is saying. He that is dead is freed from sin. And if you're freed from sin, then you're freed from the guilt of the law. Remember last week we talked about the law and used the illustration of that the law is like an accuser that would follow you around. And every time you step out of line, every time you violate the law, that accuser would raise his hand and announce to everyone in the room, so-and-so has just sinned. So-and-so has just violated the law and demonstrated their sinfulness and that they are a sinner. But you know, if you die, that accuser is out of a job. If you die and you're not living anymore and you're not violating God's law anymore, then your accuser is out of a job. So death brings freedom from sin, freedom from the law, because it pays the penalty that the law demands. The problem is, how can you pay the penalty, die, and still live? Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So apparently there's a way that we can die, that we can pay that penalty, and yet live. And Romans chapter 6 is where Paul explains how that happens. If you notice, in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, in those few short verses, Paul gives you the heart of what it is that happened at your salvation and how it is that you are crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live. Notice verse 3, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And that baptism that Paul speaks of there is not baptism with water, it's not some ceremony, it's when the Holy Spirit of God takes you out of Adam and places you into Christ, takes you out of unrighteousness, places you into righteousness. It's what we read of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Greeks, bond or free, male or female, but all made to drink into one Spirit. It's that Spirit baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And when you participate in that baptism, when you believe the gospel and that baptism occurs, you are baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. I am crucified with Christ. You see, when Christ died there, when you get identified with Christ, when you are identified completely with him, when the Spirit takes you out of Adam, your father in the flesh, and places you into Christ and gives you a new identification, part of that identification with Christ is that you are identified with his death. And you are therefore you are crucified with him. And what is it that that the guiltiness of the law demands? It demands death. So you are crucified with Christ. You die with him. But it doesn't end there. If you notice the rest of that passage in Romans chapter 6, verse number 4, the second part of the verse, therefore you are buried with him by baptism into death. Now notice the second part of the verse, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so ye also should walk in newness of life. So just as Christ was raised from the dead and given resurrection life, so we have that resurrection life. We are crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not really me. It's Christ that liveth in me. It's his life. It's that resurrection life of Christ. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You don't need to serve sin anymore, because that body of flesh, that body that was a slave to sin, that body that was trapped by sin, that body that was condemned by the law, that body is crucified. And we're now risen with Christ. That's what Paul means in Galatians 2:20 when he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, his death became your death, and his life becomes your life. You, in the person of Christ, died there on that cross. You, in the person of Christ, rose to newness of life. And what God wants you to do is not try to clean up your old life. If you remember, we talked the first week about the fallacy of the phrase Christ-like, that we want to be Christ-like in our life, that we want to be like Christ. That's not it. You can never make your life like His life. It can't happen. He's the perfect, holy, righteous Son of God. You can never make your fallen, sinful flesh like Him. In fact, the only being in the Bible that professed to want to be like God, to be like Christ, was Satan. Lucifer said in Isaiah chapter 14, I will be like the Most High God. God doesn't want you to make your life like His. He gets rid of your old life. He crucifies all that you were and gives you His life. It's not a matter of making your life like His. It's a matter of getting rid of your life and receiving His life. I am crucified with Christ. That means my life is crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not my life anymore. What happened to my life? It was crucified. But Christ liveth in me. His life is now in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, this life that I have here in this flesh now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's His life, it's His faith that I live out in my body of flesh. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And what does that do for us? Well, that makes us free. You notice, once the penalty is paid, once death is paid, we are free now to serve God. Free. At liberty. At liberty to what? Well, we are at liberty to serve. You know, many people, when you talk about justification by grace through faith, and you realize that the Scripture teaches that there's nothing we can do to please God. It's not a matter of what we do or don't do. It's faith. One of the first things they'll say is, well, do you mean then that I'm free, I have liberty to go sin and do anything I want, and I'll still be saved? Listen, you didn't need a license to go sin. You were doing fine sinning with no license before you got saved. This idea that now we have a license to sin. You don't need a license to sin. You're born in sin. You sin from the day you're born till the day you die. You are conceived. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That's a reference to the fact that from his very conception, he was a sinner by birth. What you couldn't do, though, was serve. What you didn't have license, liberty to do was serve, because you're attached to that body of sin and you're under the curse and the bondage of the law that condemns you. But in crucifying you, God delivered you from that bondage, delivered you from the law. Colossians chapter 2, notice verse number 9. For in Him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He has forgiven you all trespasses. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. He has made you complete in Him. And your life, the life that you now live in the flesh, is His life. And because of that, if we turn back to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Paul says in that passage that if you're trying to live your life based upon keeping the law, then Christ has become of no effect. Why? Because that life of Christ in you is not a life that is regulated and governed by do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and the curse and the bondage of the law. That life of Christ that's in you is a life that is at liberty to serve Him. It's a life that operates by faith. You know how Christ did everything in His earthly ministry? By faith. He believed the word of the Father. By faith, He went to that cross. By faith, He hung there and died. By faith, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? By faith, He said, it is finished. By faith, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. By faith, He did all that because He believed what the Father said. And we live our Christian lives, that life of Christ in us, by faith. Do you have liberty? Yes. Is it liberty to sin? No, you didn't need liberty to sin. You needed liberty to serve. And you needed liberty to serve by faith. Faith is the only issue. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Listen to what Paul says here. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This book, we talked about the fact that this book is alive in our very first series of studies about on this topic. Life, find it. Where are you going to find life? It's in a book. Because the Spirit breathed the words of this book. Breathe the words onto the page, and this book is alive. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, Jesus Christ said. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It's a living book. It's the life of Christ that's in that book. So if you're going to live the life of Christ, serve by living the life of Christ, where can you find the life of Christ? It's in you as a possession. But what objective, tangible source do you have? You have a book. See, that's why you need to know where to find that life. Because it's not just a matter of finding it to get saved, it's a matter of finding it to live it. How does that book operate in your life? That book operates in your life by faith. It's the word of God that effectually worketh also in you that believe. When you take that book, how do you know if an action that you've performed in your life is the life of Christ or if it's just you? If the action you performed is a response of faith to God's Word, rightly divided, then it's the life of Christ. If it's just something you dreamed up, then it's just you. It's your life. We're to live the life of Christ. That life of Christ is lived by faith. When we take a verse, believe that verse, and act upon that verse, that is the life. It's the life of Christ in that verse. It's faith that activates that verse in our lives, in our hearts, and our action then becomes the life of Christ in that verse lived out in our body of flesh. Not rules and regulations. In fact, next week we're going to look at three specific verses that you need to know and understand and memorize to have the life of Christ living out through you. So we trust that you'll tune in then. Right now, we invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.us. And our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week in any one of those ways. And when you write, if you would like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to send them to you without any cost or obligation. We simply want to help you to know how to live the life of Christ. And then be sure to tune in next week as we look at those three passages that will allow you to face every temptation of sin and live the life of Christ each day by faith. Until then, we trust that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.